Brady.
And before you start, I'm just wondering whether it would be appropriate to have some, to have staff give the board some update or report on what the status is of saltwater intrusion in Los Osos.
We can do that.
You know what? I'm curious if there's any restrictions in these the water purveyor permits that we could be commenting to the state board on if something is being violated, and whether we need to inform the state board of the situation. I mean, I don't know, because I don't know enough about it. So perhaps staff could update the board.
Sure.
On this. I mean, it's important to the people in Los Osos, and it is a water quality impact.
Right.
But, you know, before we go to the state board, why don't we find out what the county's doing?
I'm not saying go to the state board. I'm just, ultimately, that might be an option.
Oh, definitely.
To inform the state board, and they probably know about it, and are just...
Yeah, it'd be good to find out, though.
Yeah. Find out from the county, too.
State board knows about it.
Maybe someone from the county can participate in that status report. Okay. EO report.
Okay, the first thing I wanted to mention, I'll be very brief, since I imagine that's what you'd prefer, but on page 7, under the Ag Regulatory Program update, one of the headings there, of course we've heard a lot about ag today, but we didn't touch too much on the food safety issue, and that's in the middle of the page there extremely briefly. So a little added information is that we had kind of what I think is really some breakthrough news in that Joe Wilson of our staff made connection with a gentleman from Fresh Express, which is a company that is very large in the region in terms of purchasing crops, and I guess they have all the Chiquita brand, for example. And she was talking about this food safety issue, and you know, one of the rubs with the basic rub has been that, as kind of simplifies it, but the grower kind of feels like they're between a rock and a hard place because the buyers are saying, because of the food safety concerns, and in some cases it's really led to kind of paranoia, that you have to have bare earth around the crops, and so that is at odds with water quality protection, because we've been encouraging vegetated strips, as we were talking about earlier today with the toxicity item. So they've been between the water quality pressure from our end of it, as far as providing those vegetated buffer strips, and then the buyers who were saying that provides a habitat for critters that could have bacteria that could contaminate the crop. Anyway, so the breakthrough is that this gentleman who is key in Fresh Express said he was very interested in our irrigation and nutrient management program that we talked to you about earlier today, and that they've been funding research on irrigation efficiency in lettuce and want to coordinate with us on how to make improvements there. And he's invited us to present information on our pesticide data at the next buyers meeting in August, and so that's a big opportunity to open up the lines of communication with them, because we see them as key in this food safety issue. He agreed to cross-train five auditors in the conservation classes, and Daniel Mountjoy of the National Resource Conservation Service has developed a course in how water quality management practices and food safety can coexist, and he's agreed to provide training for them. So we're working out a date to do that. So it's really good news. And then lastly, the gentleman from Fresh Express, whose name is Jim Lugg, L-U-G-G, invited us to attend the meeting that they're having, and they're presenting the findings of their research on an auspicious date, September 11th this year, and said that he thought it would be great if board members any of the board members might be able to attend, as well as staff, and specifically mention Mr. Jeffries. I don't know if that's because he knows you or not. Okay. But anyway, it seems to me that it's a potential real breakthrough in this whole food safety versus water quality impasse.
I just want to add, there's two other companies in the Salinas area that are requiring or prohibiting to buy any produce from any company that has any vegetation around their properties, and that's Dole and Tanimer and Annal, as well as Fresh Express.
Mm-hmm.
Those three major companies are three major produce companies in the Salinas Valley. And it really put the agriculture community in a tailspin, because they're trying to abide by our rules and regulations with the ag waivers, and then also the information that came down from the food and ag groups. So they've just taken the position that if there's any vegetation around the crops that would prohibit, you say critters, any type of animal coming across that vegetation into the eggs, the egg fields, that they wouldn't buy the produce from.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is a lot of the egg companies have stripped away the vegetation, which we wanted for the runoffs,
right,
protection. So they're really caught in a bind. So I'm glad to see Fresh Express is kind of stepping up to the plate and taking this. But we need the staff needs to contact TNA as well as Dole.
Do you know them?
Do I know them?
Well, do you know people?
Well, we met with Bud Antle.
Yeah. Not Bud.
Or is it his brother?
Bob. Son.
Okay. He's got an airplane.
Yeah, Bob Antle is the son of Bud Antle, and Rick Antle is the son of Bob Antle.
Okay.
I mean, it just goes down the line.
Well, my point is, we have to break bread with them. One-on-one communicate with them that, you know, their position isn't going to be able to hold up eventually, and that we're going to need their cooperation in trying to implement what we are mandated to do in the water quality.
Well, I understand that. And, of course, you have to understand the growers. They're caught because if they can't sell their crops, and then the grower, the shipper, or the processor is caught because now they get caught up with these E. coli, and they're losing millions of dollars of produce that's being turned over. So I think this is the right direction, and if Fresh Express steps forward, then the other companies are also going to do that. And I don't know what day is September 11th, but Mr. Briggs, I'd be more than happy to attend that.
Okay, we'll get the specifics on it out to all the board, because others may be interested in attending as well, and maybe the thing to do would be to coordinate with TNA and Dole, and see if maybe they'd be interested in attending as well. I don't know if that would cause some sort of competition.
It might, because they're kind of proprietary of what information they get. But I think
we should sound them out anyway.
We should make inroads into those particular companies and see if we can't pass some information along to assist them and their decisions on their mandates to the growers.
Right. Okay.
And hopefully we will have done something like this before the permit comes up next year.
Right.
You know, I mean, because the growers are going to be saying, you guys are going to want vegetated buffers put in over this next five-year period, and we're still stuck with the current situation.
Right.
We've got to try to break through that.
Right. But, and I thought this was a real good sign that
the door is opening.
Yeah.
The door is opening.
Okay. Let's see. And just real quickly, I summarize on page 10 a meeting that the State Board had in our region. And let's see, we had Dr. Hunter, Mr. Hodgen, Mr. Jeffries, Mr. Shellcross all there at various times. For the State Board meeting, I gave a presentation in the morning on our region in general, and then in the afternoon provided the policy statement, which I'd sent to all of you regarding the CalAm issue. And then we organized the field trip. The next day, we had a couple of the State Board members, as well as Dr. Hunter, attending that field trip and got a lot of positive response on that. So from my perspective, that went pretty well. The State Board is going to be taking up the formal part of the hearing. This was just for policy statements, and the formal part of the hearing will commence in June and could take quite a while. They still have to determine the scope of that hearing. Mr. Baggett and Dr. Wolf are the hearing panel for that. And then
I just want to add, I think Mr. Briggs did a tremendous job on his presentation.
Oh, thanks.
At that session. I was sorry that I couldn't be there the second day, but I wound up in bed for the rest of the week.
It didn't sound so good that day.
I shouldn't have been there that day, but I wanted to be there to hear the process, and I wanted to hear your presentation. That's why.
Okay, well, I hope my presentation didn't make you sicker.
No. Not on target.
Next. On speaking of meetings, I'll just let you know as a heads up that speaking of CalAM, we've got a meeting next week, not exactly firmed up, but I think we've got a meeting lined up with Monterey Peninsula Water Management District and CalAM just regarding the Seaside Aquifer Storage and Recovery Project. So we sent them a letter with the information needs that we had in order to proceed with approval of that, and they want to talk about that some more. So I think that's going to be Tuesday. And then Monday morning, Harvey Packard and I are going to be going up to King City to meet with Supervisor Salinas in King City regarding the Little Bear and Pine Canyon, Little Bear Water Company, Pine Canyon area outside of King City. This is a meeting that Supervisor Salinas requested regarding wastewater management in that area. So just a heads up that we'll be doing that, and we'll let you know how that goes. That's it for – oh, sorry, I had a couple other things. On our Low Impact Development Center, we're making good progress, and thanks to Michael Thomas for spearheading our efforts and working with the Maryland Low Impact Development Center, and we're getting we're making progress pretty much every week as far as having that come to fruition. So we'll be summarizing or providing you more information as we get up and running with that. And then I asked, after we were in Salinas and we were talking about the remember the Sea Clean, the Monterey Bay and Carmel Bay area monitoring program with those dischargers in that area, and the subject of personal care products, pharmaceuticals in the water came up and all that, and Akeen from City of Santa Cruz provided some additional information for us regarding what City of Santa Cruz was doing to help their citizens with proper disposal of household medications, for example. Because, you know, one thing we can do is try to reduce the source of that stuff that's getting dumped down the toilet. So I asked Carol Hewitt to research a few sources where we'd heard about information being available from various entities and try to come up with the easiest, the simplest instructions and to put that on our website. And she's done that. I've got a printout here, but you can take a look at our website. This will probably change, but at least we've got something on there that provides some information for folks to let them know the proper way, or at least a way that it's going to keep those unused drugs out of our water. And there are a lot of efforts going on in that regard. That's why I say it's probably going to change. The Integrated Waste Management Board has funding to provide that kind of information. Also, Matt Thompson was saying that we may have a project with some funding out of an enforcement case that will actually provide receptacles, which they understand they have in the City of Santa Cruz already. That would just be locally here in San Luis Obispo County, but would provide receptacles that are kind of a free zone for getting rid of those unused drugs. So that's good, and thank you, Carol, for working on that. Then I think this is last. In your folders, there was an invitation from Santa Cruz Water Department and Soquel Creek Water District about a tour of their proposed reverse osmosis desal pilot plant. They're working on a combined project, and they know that we're meeting in Watsonville on July 11th. They wanted to invite our board for a tour on July 10th, late afternoon or early evening. I talked to our chair about this earlier, just a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking that it's probably not the highest priority. I actually already responded to an initial request and said that with the difficulties of scheduling and the time demands on you as board members, that we have to pass at this point. They actually sent this subsequently. So I guess they're not taking no for an answer.
Signed by Bruce Daniels.
I was going to say Bruce Daniels is pretty persistent.
So you can take a look at it, and if you know, I would say that if some of you are interested, then you could certainly go. But the problem we'd have is if we get more than
four.
Anyway, I'd appreciate it if you let me know if you do want to attend, and then we'd have to notice it. They will be coming before us.
It's a desal plant, right?
Yeah. And reverse.
We should probably talk about that, I guess. Yeah, Francis is bringing up potential conflict as far as permit. We'll talk about that more.
Who has a conflict?
No. It's going to be a regulated. It's going to be a regulated facility.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it will be.
Will be.
Ah.
Don't they have a pilot?
You can still do it. You just have to.
They have a pilot project.
Yeah.
They have a permit for that.
Are they going to take seawater or what? Brackish water?
Yes, seawater.
Seawater.
I think they're going to be using existing outfall for an intake.
Okay. Anything else?
Can I ask one quick question?
Yes, Dr. Hunter,
from the EOS question. Report, I think I have claim to that title. In the EOS report, there's in the ag reg update, there's a mention of a presentation to Morro Bay on the ag irrigated ag program and how this may be of use to them in terms of excessive levels of nitrate in groundwater within the study area. Just briefly, will we see something coming forward on that issue?
Well, you saw something here, so as far as regulatory action of some kind,
right,
for the board, not necessarily, unless, you know, we had some kind of enforcement action on against the source, but I don't foresee that in the near future.
Well, if they're shutting down wells, which is the local newspaper reports, if they have to shut down a well for 24, 48, 72 hours because nitrate levels are so high, doesn't that come up somehow? Don't we have a report?
Is that a point source or non-point source?
They don't know. They don't know what the problem is. They're
right.
Trying to discover what the situation is. What I have
right,
heard
that's what we're
in the
to
newspaper
too.
Is that the drinking water is being affected, and it just seemed to me that we should be seeing something on it.
Well, that's why we gave you the information that we went to the city council and said that we're going to be taking a look at our at the ag sources. And you've heard from Mr. Sadowski a couple times today. He disagrees with the Cleith report as far as the source of nitrate in the wells, and so we've looked at that as well. But we can either bring you a status report or an action item, and maybe this is too brief, I don't know, but that's we brought you the status report of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I would really like to see something because I think it's a huge issue in Morro Bay, and all I've seen is reports in the newspaper. It seems pretty significant to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there. So status report, if that would get us something sooner to understand what the situation is as best we can determine it.
Right. Well, I mean, this was the status as of this point, and we can continue to let you know.
Okay.
What we're
I would
doing.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, meeting is adjourned.
All right.
Oh, we're here.